It is good to have each of you to come out to this even service. We thank the Lord for the great service this morning, for the real good message of Brother Foster that he brought, blessed our heart, certainly lifted our spirit as he told us the great things of the Lord. And it's so good to be here with you in this camp meeting. And we will be leaving in the morning, going back home. And Brother Decker wanted me to bring this teaching service this afternoon. I didn't know what it might do just to teach one service on the Revelation, but the truth is always good, isn't it? It blesses hearts. And I want to say here that all that have heard Revelation taught in the past, and great men, great giants of truth have brought out great things about the history of Revelation, what has happened down through the ages of time with the church. And I'm not trying to be any different. I believe God's ministers should all be in one voice, bringing light, bringing truth. And so I may not understand what they have understood and be as deep in the things as they have, but we've all got to do our best with what God gives us. And so that's my desire, is just to bring to you what the Lord has given to me. So in Revelation, the 20th chapter, if you'd like to turn your Bible there, begin with me in the 7th verse of this chapter. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosened out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, gathering them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. My desire to bring out in from these scriptures from here and go back to follow the dragon that has given the trouble to the church from back here all the way down to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I want to show you what was in this pit to be loosened. There's a lot in there that was loosened and turned loose. And in this end time, I think the eyes of a lot of people, not criticizing, being as honest as I know how to be, are dazed with religion and looking in the wrong directions of what is the leading against the church today. But we are taught by the Apostle Paul in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, spiritual weakness in high places. We must understand that in this dragon represents idol worship. Idol is what man creates his own image and place it before him as it's the way to worship God. And back here in these idols of this worship of these kingdoms back here, you that have read history know that it was leaders in high places, and it was the government of the high places, the leaders of those that were function, that allowed the great persecution against God's people. And we know that through the age of time, Ecclesiastes has said, there's nothing new and under the sun. It's just that which has been. And we know that there's all kinds of persecution here. Now, Ezekiel, the 29th chapter, gives us this dragon as Egypt, the king of Egypt. What was he? Holding God's people in bondage. We all know that, do we not? He put them in bondage. What is Egypt? Egypt is bondage. What was the god of Egypt? All kinds of gods down in Egypt. It'd be hard to mention them. When God plagued Egypt, he were plaguing their gods. What he was doing down in Egypt. Well, in Jeremiah 51, I think it is 34, when the church was under great persecution, it was the dragon power, that had got the church into trouble. And that was causing all the persecution that had caused the Jews to slip from the commandments of God, from the law of God. When you associate with idol worship and anything that man has created for his religious worship, you are slipping from the laws of God. It's idolatry, is what it ends up being. Now, in the morning time, that's just some background that I want to give you before I show us what came out there altogether. In the morning time here, we have this dragon and his idol worship. And we know Daniel's prophesied here of 70 weeks, which was 490 years to Jesus Christ. When Christ came into the world, the Roman power was still in authority, right? And so Herod, he was in a high place. He was a leader. Whenever that they failed to return him, notify him where the baby Christ was, what did he do? He sent out in the second chapter of Matthew, had the children killed. Up to 2 years. Who went against him? Who stopped him? Nobody. Why? He was in authority. He was in the high place. He was the leader, right? He could persecute if he wanted to. John the Baptist then came preaching. What did he call him? He called him a viper. Matthew 3 and verse 7. What is the viper? He's the worst kind of serpent. He covers himself in the desert sand. And when you're walking, he's got you before you know it. He's cunning. And so what were their doctrine and teaching? They were cunning in what they were doing. And then Jesus in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and about the 37th verse, he told them they were children of their fathers, that they were the seed of those who had killed the prophets. And they said, oh no, if we'd have been in their day, we wouldn't have done that. Doing the same thing. claiming they would not do it, but was doing it, right? And so Jesus called them two things. He called them a serpent. He called them a viper. That's what he called them. Now, in the 14th chapter, to show you the nature and the spirit of it. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, Herod had killed John the Baptist just because he was opposed, right? See, it makes those people angry. That's in high places whenever you put the truth on them. Does it not? And so he set out to vex the church and persecute the church. So they were after Jesus Christ. They hated him. They hated what he done. Time and time again, they tried to take him and wanted to put him to death. Jesus slipped out till it come time. And when it came time, who was it that was persecuting and killing our Savior? It was leaders in high places, was it not? And what did they call him? In St. John, the 20th chapter, said, "We have no king but Caesar." It was the leaders in that day and time, over the government, over the law. And so they do what they wanted to do. And then whenever they persecuted him, crucified him, after that they set in stone the apostles over a man being healed in the 3rd chapter of Matthew. In the 4th chapter, Acts. In the 4th chapter of Acts, when they went to prayer in their company, they asked a question. Why does the heathens rage? Why does the heathens rage? Who were they? High place. High places. They were in leadership, wanting to put an end to this preaching Jesus Christ, the Savior that came from heaven, preached to that he was the Son of God. No, they were against it every bit. And so, what did they do in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts? They reached out and killed James. Gonna go farther and kill Peter because it pleased the Jews. Who went against it? Who stopped it? Nobody. Why? It was the leadership, the law of the land. Do what you want to do. You're in the high place. You got the authority to do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Kill if you want to. When Stevens, when he preached all the way from Abraham to Jesus Christ, what did they do? Stoned him, killed him. Who done anything about it? Nobody. Why? They were protecting. They were doing what the leaders wanted done. Stop that kind of preaching. Stop that kind of teaching. We don't need that kind of preaching, right? So they were persecuting the saints of God. Now then, all of that. And John was one of the last ones of the disciples. And the history said they boiled him in oil, but God took the heat out of the oil. They cast him out on the Isle of Patmos. And in the 9th verse of the 1st chapter of Revelation, he was in tribulation, was he not? Now we have people preaching the tribulation ain't come. I'd like to know what that was, if it wasn't tribulation. If you go back to the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus had told his disciples what they would do. They'd deliver them up in their synagogue. They'd be persecuted. He warned them what they'd do. But being sheep and being as a dove and all of that, but still they would be persecuted and be killed. Right? Who were doing it? The leaders in high places. That was who was doing it. God gave John then this vision. He showed him all of this, plumb out to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right? Now in the 8th chapter of Revelation, the church back here had been warred again, been persecuted, trial after trial, test after trial, and only a few little low places that they wasn't when Constantine, but Constantine was a sun god worshiper. And so it was just persecution back here. But in the 8th chapter, and the sound of the second trumpet, the church goes into captivity. Right? It went into the sea. And those that went into the sea had life died. And the waters were made bitter. Revelation 17:15. Water is multitude, nations, tongues, and people. That's what they are. So they were made bitter in this doctrine and teaching here as the church went down. Now, when she went down, what Jesus did in the 20th chapter of Revelation, in the first part of it, he said this, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. He laid a hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now let me remind you again. I showed you the viper, Matthew 3:7, Matthew 23:37 and down. I showed you the dragon, did I not? Now then it's Satan and it's a devil, right? And he laid a hold. Now I want to tell you, the devil has never been tied up. It was his system that was tied up. When he tied him in his pit here, he was not allowed to go no farther. He could work this system, but he had all nations in under him. And it was here when the church went down and things got bitter. And Amos tells you in 5:7, when you leave off truth and righteousness, they come bitter in the land. People get bitter when they leave off truth, do they not? So they got bitter here. And in here, Jesus tied this up. Now what I want to tell you is, when he loosened it, that I just read to you from 7th verse down through, what did he loosen? He loosened the same thing that he tied up in it. Do you see that? What was in that pit was what was tied up. He loosened it. Now the devil has got room to play that he never had to play in here. Right? He got room to persecute that he never had in here. What did he use back here? What I just brought up to you and gave you chapter and verse for. That he persecuted the church. Right? Now to help you understand what was in there and what was happening in there, turn with me to the 12th chapter of Revelation, where that he was cast down. And read with me in the 7th verse. He said, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." What happened? There's war again whenever he's loosened out of his prison. He's again the saints of God. Now some people say that the devil was an angel in heaven and he got kicked out. And a lady was arguing with me when I was selling vacuum cleaners. And it was my secretary. And she said, oh yeah, he was there. And I said, you believe in one time saved, always saved? She said, yeah. Well, I said, you got yourself in a trap. Because if the devil was an angel in heaven and you believe in one time saved, always saved, he's going to have to go to heaven when life is over. She said, oh, no. I said, well, you don't believe what you're preaching then. Man, because if the devil was ever there and you believe that one time saved, always saved, well, he can't be lost. He's got to go back. Right? But he couldn't do it. And the devil was never in God's eternal heaven. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, tells you that Paul knew a man, whether in the body, out of the body. He said, I don't know, but he's called up to the third heavens. And so there's a heavens up here over our head, and the birds flies through it. There's a heavens where God lives. And then there's a heavenly place where you're sitting today. Saved by the grace of God while you're here. Right? And which heaven was he in? Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, tells you that this man, he said, that day won't come except there come and fallen away first that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed, exalted himself above all that is called God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself as he is God. What did he do? He said, nobody's saved outside the Roman Catholic Church. That's what was loosened out of that pit. And he was in the pit here, but he was teaching. Nobody's saved outside here. You got to go by Mary. Mary's more compassion than Jesus are. Then they fixed him 14 beads, and you got to go by the beads. And you got to go through a lot of rituals and all of that stuff. And that was taught in there. Man of sin, a son of perdition. Utterly lost, utterly destruction. That's what was taking place in here. And it caused war whenever he is loosened out of here. They begin to go against the Protestants, and the Protestants went against them. And it caused war. Wycliffe, John Huss, Martin Luther. John Huss and Joseph Wycliffe was put to death. Martin Luther opposed them, and he brought there to the people, the just shall live by faith. You don't go to no man to pray away your sins. You go to Jesus. He's the only one that can forgive you. And you can ask me if you done me something wrong and say, David, forgive me. I say, you forgiven. But I can't forgive you of what you done against God. That's between you and God. That's the way that was. But he is taking God's place here on earth. He claimed Peter done the same thing. Peter never did dress like that man dressed. He never had nobody carrying him in a chair. He never run around with a crown stuck up on his head. He never went through 14 beads. He never done mass and all of that stuff. He was not that kind of a man. Never read of him being that way. His sin. And here, they're warring again this. But the saints of God, that when the Bible was translated in England, they took a hold of it, began to take their stand, make their stand again this thing here. And what happened? Old Babylon began to fall. What was falling? False teaching, false doctrine that they'd been teaching. And they weren't against the man. They were against what was being taught. We're not against people. We're just against what is falsehood. Because it damns souls, it'll send souls to hell, and we cannot endorse it because God don't endorse it. That's the reason we can't endorse it. And so here they were having war. And so whenever they had battled and fought and fought, and they gave the dragon, gave his seat and his authority and his power under that beast. They worshiped the dragon. They worshiped the beast. But whenever he's loosened out of here, the dragon needs somewhere else to go. So in Revelation, the 13th chapter and 11th verse, he gets over here and he speaks out his mouth as a dragon. You see, he's still looking to the high places, still by leaders teaching things that is not correctly right. What do they do? Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Revelation. I'll show you what happened. Now, John saw in this 11th chapter back here that the two witnesses, they mourned in sackcloth and ashes. But after it was loosened, he saw another picture. He saw the two witnesses in an 8th verse, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, in the great city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now our Lord wasn't crucified in Egypt, neither down in Sodom. What's he talking about? He's talking about a sin system. Sin system. Sodom is weakness, right? And Egypt is bondage. And that's what was happening here. The sins, if you go back in Genesis, word that Abraham got a message about Sodom, God going to destroy Sodom. All of you know what kind of sin was there. If you Bible students know that, don't you? Now I ask you, we're talking about what's loosened out of the pit, and over here what's killing the effect of the Word of God with a lot of people today. Isn't that sin of Sodom? Huh? Who signed to release them? We're talking about leaders in high places. Didn't the president sign for the sins of Sodom? Did he not? And when the woman down in Kentucky in the courthouse refused to join the same, give the ceremony, are the papers for the same sect of marriage? Who went against her? The governor. Governor of Kentucky. Did he not? Now who was releasing the sins of Sodom? Who was the leaders down through here that the devil worked through? Leaders in high places. Wasn't that what Paul told you in the 6th chapter? That we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Spiritual weakness in high places. Turning sin loose. Right? It didn't only do that, but it killed the effect of the teaching of God. You know and I know, there's no Bible, none whatsoever, for the same sect of marriage. I don't know if there's anybody in here believes in it or not, but I've got news for you. You ain't got no Bible if you do. It come out of the pit. It was loosened out of the pit. Out of here. And it's still going on. What was loosened out of the pit? Just a few weeks ago, over 1,000 children had been raped. right? But how much did you hear of it? 2 days about it, and it was hush, hush. Why? Leaders in high places protect it. Protect it. Shut up. Don't talk it. It'll die down. Throw something over it. Cover it up. What are they doing? They're killing the Word of God. Just as they killed it in here, wouldn't let it have a rule to walk by. It was not a rule to walk by, neither was it the authority for them to have their church in line with God. They wouldn't have it. They let it lay dead. They trampled it. Let me give you a prophecy on this. Ezekiel 34, if you want to turn there with me and read with me, it won't take but a jiffy to turn over there, and I'll show you how well people do whenever they want their own way. In the 19th verse, and as for my flock, that eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and drank that which ye have fouled with your feet. God's people will eat what other people have trodden down with their feet. They put it down. Over here, they put it down. They didn't use it as God's rule, God's authority. They went about to set up their own creeds and their own doctrines and their own ways. Did they not? And when they did that, they didn't allow the Word of God to have effect on them. There is people today, you can preach your heart out to them, teach them all you want, and they won't let the Word have effect. Nobody can help you unless you let the Word affect you. That's the only help you can get, is the Word of God affect you, for you to get a blessing from the Lord. So this went on in here. I'm just a highlighting in the teaching today. I'm not trying to do a whole lot with this, just giving maybe a highlight of time. But in the sixth seal age, the brethren's was called a flying ministry. And in the 14th chapter of Revelation, we have those who were handing out the judgment of God, preliminary judgment. In the 7th verse, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. This was the flying ministry in the day under the sixth seal. Turn over to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 12th verse, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there were great earthquakes, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig when she casteth forth her untiny figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and every island moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the den and in the rock of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the wrath of the Lamb is the laughter, or for the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? Now, whenever they're preaching the judgment of God, and the judgment of God is the truth, the word is truth, and it was bringing out what was wrong in the systems in here, what false teaching was, and the people, instead of hearing to the truth, they went and cried for a hiding place. What was their hiding place? He put it in the figure language, the rocks, the mountains. They hide in. What are they hiding in today? Hiding under their religions. Read Isaiah, the 30th chapter. They think to go down to Egypt, take a covering, but not of me, said the Lord, that they may add sin to sin. Now the judgment here is against the false teaching that is being taught. Christ is coming back. He's going to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to tie up the devil, and he's going to secret rapture the church out, and it's going to be in the air for 7 years. And another group said 3.5 years. And the wicked's going to be tied in the grave. And there's going to be a battle of Armageddon. Well, I want to ask you, if the wicked's in the grave, church is raptured out, who's going to do the battle? There ain't nobody there to do the battle. Right? So you see, that judgment is against that kind of preaching, right? Now, as I said a while ago, they teach in here, one time saved, always saved. If you ever get saved and you do what you want to do, and if you die, you're going to heaven. I have an uncle, and he believes that. He said, if I'm going down the road, me and another fellow, and he ain't never been saved, and I've been saved. We both are drunk. He gets killed, or I get killed. I'm going to heaven, but he's going to hell. Now, God's judgment is against that kind of teaching. That's what's in here, the judgment of God laid against it. Now, they say, join the church. You can't find in the Bible where it joined church. 5th chapter of Isaiah said, woe unto them that join house to house. What is the house? A Hebrew, the 3rd chapter, Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are. How can a house, a literal house, join a literal house? That's not what he's talking about. They're talking about taking Christians and joining them to what they call the church. The judgment of God is against it. And people get mad at us because we're trying to help them see the light, come out of it, and take their stand for truth. In truth, you're free. If God's Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians 12:13 baptize you into the body of Christ, you're already in the church. You don't need to join anything. No such thing as joinership in the church of God. We're people free, free by truth. Thank God of the truth in Jesus Christ. So there's teachings in here that the judgment of God is against. They're on the wrong foundation. Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter what it took to get on the right foundation. Every man's work's tried, of what sort it be. And it's tried by fire. And the fire will try every man's works. Before you get on the foundation with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you've got to come through the fire. The fire is the Holy Ghost of God. He'll test you. He'll try you. And if the fire purify you and you're holy, God will put you on a firm foundation with Him. That's what He's teaching us. Thank God we've got to come out from that, have we not? So we find then in Revelation, whenever this here flying ministry went, in the 16th chapter of Revelation, we have three unclean spirits. And these unclean spirits in Revelation 3:13, and I saw three unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world, gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Will you agree that we're in battle? You see, back here, the dragon, whenever he was here in this 12th chapter of Revelation, he was against the woman, not only her, but the child. The church is a child, the seed of the woman, which is the church, right? He's against her. And in here, he was against the woman. He's against the true bride of Jesus Christ. Over here, when he comes out in this one, he's still against the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, these spirits are unclean. They're like frogs. What did frogs do down in Egypt? Frogs got into knitting trays. They got in the bed chambers. They got in the waters. They got everywhere. Amen. Where is these spirits? Come on now. First, let's look. Marriage today is just about a thing of past. Right? At your bed chambers. All right, the knitting tray. That's where your dough and your batter is put, making bread, right? What's in that unclean spirit in the teachings that you're getting, right? And the dragon spirit is in it. Worship idols. You're free. You're free, man. Do what you want to do. What are they doing? They're gathering all the way from way back here. Whenever these four kingdoms Daniel saw, they were heathenism in teaching, and it was war after war, one against another. In here, there war. War against God, against His people, all the way down through, and fighting, 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 and it's still going on today. And brother, we in battle as sure as you live. They've always been against God's people. That's what we're into today. We're wrestling with unclean spirits. And what's he doing? He gathered them together over here in the end of time, in the making of this eighth beast. Here's your frogs. We got three of them on this chart here. And what does a frog do? He can't hop fast enough to catch his food. How does he get it? He's got a tongue about that long. And he just... He catches food. He's got slime on his tongue. What is it? Evil spirit is what's catching people. Why does it catch people? It appears to the flesh. It appeals to the flesh. It seems what's right. You know, Proverb told us, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. These frogs is just as greedy as they were down in Egypt. They are a plague. Plague against what? Against the truth of God. Unclean spirits get in among God's saints. What did they do? They caused them to get quiet. Let me ask you, how do you feel when you know somebody don't believe the truth that's being preached from the pulpit, and a big old unbeliever come in and set that down inside of you? Does he hush you up on hollering, amen? Yeah, he put quietness on people, right? Cause people to clam up. I said a lot of times when I was pastor, have visitors, be laying out the truth, and because I had some visitors that didn't believe in the church of God, the whole church just seemed quiet and sat down and want to hush. I said, where's my help? Where's my help? We're supposed to help Jesus. When truth is going forth, we're supposed to embrace it and lift up truth, right? And so these is working miracles. Jesus used that down here, and he shows these here again, the church down here. Everything that's been again the church is still again the church, right? Now, what did Jesus do? Whenever that these two witnesses took their stand, they come up in the cloud, right? And when they went up in the cloud, there was fear that fell on people. Revelation 11 chapter. What is clouds? Hebrew 12 said you have a cloud of witness, right? You have a witness. You have people, prophets, that witness. You have the apostles that witness. And this witness that Jesus was talking about, whenever the cloud went up, they begin to put out the judgment of God. And these unclean spirits here, when Babylon broke up in three parts, she's a pagan back here, she's Romanism, and she's Protestantism. But out here in the end of time, she's making up as the eighth beast in the day that we live in everything that's been again the church in the past is coming against it again. Do you see that? In this even time, how's it coming, preacher? It's coming against leaders. And leaders in high places. That's why I showed you who signed for the homosexuals. Leaders. Why don't they change it? Not against it. Man, why is this here law of the land here today that they say we recognize all religions? Every religion, go in your school, put Church of God in there if you can. Amen? You can't do it, can you? So, why? It's in your leaders. You're looking for the eighth beast. You say, oh, how's he coming? He's coming through your leaders. He wants to bring the church in under one heading. If this old fella has his way, that's where it's going. It's going right back where it did in history. It's coming under one heading, and they'll shut you down. That's why the church needs to be faithful and a praying people and be aware of unclean spirits. That's in our world today. It's everywhere. It's coming through leaders. Well, I hope that makes it clear to us. So, in this, where that God had showed that he was gathering his people back to Zion, in the 14th chapter, they stood on the mountain, they sang the song of Redeem with Jesus, new song. You know what new song is? The New Testament. Now, In Exodus 15 chapter, they sung a song when they crossed the Red Sea, didn't they? But whenever we get to Deuteronomy 31, there's another song that was wrote. And God told Moses to write that song. And Moses wrote it and he said, sing it to Israel. Teach it to them. He put it in there and he said, why? He said, this is against Israel. Why is it against Israel? When I take them to Canaan's land, what are they going to do? They're going to get lukewarm and they're going to portray God. Amen? And he put the song in there. Now down here in the 15th chapter, they're standing on the sea of glass. The word of God. That's the true church of God. True church of God standing on the sea of glass. They sang a song of Moses and a song of the Lamb. When they come out from this over here and was brought back to Zion, they sung the Lamb song. Did they? Song of the redeemed. Only the redeemed could sing that song. Whenever they come out of Egypt, they sung a song. But in the 31st chapter, they sung a different song. And it was put with the Ark of the Covenant. Where are they at? They were the Ark. They were the Covenant. Right? Now they sang another song. What's that song? What have we got today? And I'm trying to hurry. We got lukewarmness. Amen. Are you going to get quiet on me? Why? Wish we can preach and teach about the six sealed brothers. What great truth they had and how they brought thousands out. Flying ministry. Thank God. How then there was a seducing spirit entered in. Unclean spirit. And they begin to quieten off. But what about this seventh seal age? The letter is to the seventh seal church. You cannot deny it. Now, in a lot of places, they're closing the door. And we are living under more light and truth than they had in the sixth seal. Are we not? And yet, people are falling away. Why? Brother, sister, because they're shutting off the truth. Our younger children being brought up, mom and dad is giving in to them. Marrying in opposite sect from the church. And a seducing spirit of the devil working to seduce. And he said the church was lukewarm. That letter is to the seventh seal age church. Whether you like it or whether you don't, we are the seventh seal age. And so, what are we going to do with all of this? We'd better start a prayer meeting and a praying people to pray, God give us help. I never faced such an age of rebellion in all my life as it is today. Again, truth that being taught about God. In this, then we have, whenever this was going forth in the 16th chapter, these unclean spirits, in the 17th verse, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Came a great voice out of heaven, out of the temple of heaven, from the throne saying, it is done. What's God doing? He's pouring out the wrath of God in this even of time. Now you can get angry at the preacher, whoever he be, for preaching about different religions, about what's going on if you want to. But But brother, we are in battle. And we have a job to pour out under the anointing of God, the raft of God's judgment. That is our duty. That is our calling in this seven seal age, and to put judgment on falsehood. Amen. And you see, brother, sister, whenever we do, we're having a battle. Because they say, well, I'm down home, I hear the lady say, well, my girl wants to go over here to church, and I've got to go over there to support them. My grandson, he's just learning to play the guitar, and they're learning him how to play the guitar, and I've got to go over and support him. I don't care if mama, papa, sister, brother, whoever want to go, don't commit adultery by fooling with Babylon. In Revelation, the third chapter, and the 18th verse, or the second chapter and the 18th verse to the 29th verse, he said, I'll cast Jezebel in a bed. And he said, them that commit fornication with her, he said, I'll kill their children with death. If you want your children to be lost, a spiritual death to get a hold of them, just flirt with Babylon. They'll say, well, it's all right for mama. She went down there. Daddy went down there. He didn't see nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with me going down there? You see, they get drunk on the doctrine, on the teaching, and it's smooth sailing. I say the Bible said, come out of her, my people. God has put judgment on it. He's pouring out his wrath on it. And we must be a people that's standing for the truth of God. That's what he wants in this day and time that we live in. Be the church of God. If you're going to be church of God, be church of God. If you're going to be nothing, just say, I'm nothing. And then you can flirt with anything you want to. But if you're going to be church of God, stay at home with your husband. God is the husband. Praise the Lord. I kindly feel like preaching. Amen. Brother, sister, we're living in a time when God said, now the seventh seal started really back with the sixth seal age, 19 and 30. Brother Goodnight bringing the truth on Revelation. And so in Revelation 17 chapter, and I ain't got time to go there, but in the 17th chapter, you can see this woman is riding on the beast. Amen. This beast has got seven horns up here, and the judgment is being poured out. And in that 17th chapter, she's called a mother of harlots. Over here in this here a dark age, she was not a mother. She didn't claim to be a mother in here. But over here, she's got children. And the more children hatched out all the way down through. And when she gets over here, she says she's a mother of harlots. Now, while they got different names because they don't know who their father is. Amen. You see, they got in Jezebel's bed and committed fornication, and they all got different names. They don't know who the daddy is. She's been with too many. And so they just give them a name and hope that hits home. But brother, sister, I want to tell you, our children, God's church, has got the Father's name, and he is the head of the church of God. Whee! Hallelujah. So, brother, sister, the judgment of God is poured out again, Miss Babylon. Yes, it is. And so she come riding in. Not only that, but she's drunk. Drunk on what? The blood of the saints. She was a martyr in here. I've got history, Wickersham church history, where they killed, they martyred, they ripped people apart. Have you got Bible? Turn over to Hebrews the 11th chapter. Read the last part of it. Those saints of God and how they were treated. They had to live in caves and here and there. And brother was scorned and scourged everywhere they went because they loved the truth. But they were looking for a better resurrection. They didn't give in to the persecution. They stayed true to God regardless what come or went. They believed in the true church of God. So I'm going to hush. And you're dismissed.